Jenkins Church. If you will register with our attendance books, I believe they've been passed out and are in our pews. Wait for a few minutes for everybody to get in and be seated. Okay. Do we have any first-time visitors to my left? The pews to my left? Okay, first-time visitors in the middle. Okay, what about first-time visitors to my right? All right, looks like we've all been here before, so that's good. Do we have any announcements? They're listed in our bulletin, but are there any announcements?
Session meeting. I'm not sure who are session members, where they are. We active session and the two that are rotating off. The bulletin says 4:30. That's when we're supposed to eat at the at Smyrna. Meet here at 4 o'clock. We will meet here at 4, go eat. We'll come back here for the business meeting because of the use of their space there. Those three elders who are rotating off, we want them to be there, or you to be there also. And we will do some business tonight. We will also appoint committees. If you have an interest in a committee, write it on a note card, and we'll try to use that to build the committees.
Can I make a plug for Christian Education Committee? If anybody would like to join that committee, right now we only have three people on the committee, Deborah Eckard, Sally Turco, and myself, and we would welcome anyone who would be interested in Christian Education Committee. Are there any other announcements? Okay, Susan?
The 16th of February?
February. Okay, good. Fundraiser for the youth. Any other announcements?
Okay. I believe the youth have about half of their money to go to South America on. Is that right?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. About half of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, good. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer or praise requests?
Thomas Scales.
Thomas Scales has had a stroke and set stone crest. He lives right down here in Clovercroft, Jerry Farm. Is it Nikki Fielder?
Nikki Fielder, Pam's cousin.
Having surgery this week. Joe Bailey is the uncle of Ted Hatfield, who's part of our Wednesday night fellowship, and he has cancer and is dying. But he was testifying to us last night that the whole side of the family, with all the rougher side of the family, but just about everyone of them in their adult life, has become saved and Christian, so the separation will be temporary, but it's still sad for all of them. Robertson.
She was a first-time visitor this morning. Yeah. That's okay. Trudy York's father died. Mr. Tucker, what's his first name, John? Mr. Tucker, I'm not sure. Okay, not sure.
Wayne?
He said he questioned, though. Okay. He was a former resident here in Nolensville and moved away to live with another daughter. Regina Horn, a teacher at the elementary school here in Nolensville, and Connie Davison, both of them had tragedy in the family. And both of them, their mom passed away, if you didn't hear that. Carol's niece, Mandy Donnell. Mandy Donnell. And her brother-in-law is going back to Arkansas after a month away in Chicago. Your brother-in-law is going back to Arkansas this week. Is that right? Okay.
Are there any other prayer requests? John?
His name's Paul Moran. He was in Madras. He lives in Hollingsburg. He's a police officer. He's okay. It was pretty, you know, he had a lot of cosmetic surgery and quite a healing.
Okay. Any other prayer requests?
Mary, one more. Jimena Lindsay is also part of our Midnight Fellowship. And she, her name is on here, but she's suffering with some undiagnosed something at this time that's rather debilitating, and it's emotionally debilitating as well as physically. She's a young mom, she has two young boys and a supportive husband, but she seems to keep getting weaker and weaker since the holidays. About food allergies, but now we're not sure, so lifting up.
We also have pew cards in the pew, so if there's someone that you would like to put on a prayer request, you can write their name on the card and put it in the offering plate. If there are no other requests, let's take a moment for silent prayer to prepare our hearts for worshiping God. If you'll follow along in your bulletin, a voice came out of a cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him."
That's God's name.
Tell the glad news of salvation from day to day.
Proclaim God's glory to the nations, God's marvelous deeds to all peoples.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Stand now, please, and turn your hymnals to hymn 295. Revive us again.
Ye praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now born of love. the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again.
But it's after 10 o'clock and everybody should be awake. So, please, if you can't sing, or if you're shy, or if you just don't feel like singing, at least in the chorus, say the hallelujah. Please. Second verse.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of life. And tell us our Savior and gather our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who is Lord. Hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah,
find the glory.
Revive us again.
Now we're here to worship God, so we want God to hear the hallelujah this time. We're going to have to get a little bit louder than we've been being. Here we go.
Revive us again. Fill His heart with Thy love. May the glory rekindle with fire from above. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again.
Not long ago, somebody said to be revived, that means a second time, so you must have been vived the first time. And I guess we have been vived. Most of us have, at least. We have come to know the Lord. We felt, elated. We felt clean and pure and forgiven and righteous because we had trusted in Jesus Christ and He had removed our sins according to His promise. We had believed and He had promised us that home in heaven, and we were anticipating it. Time goes on, and we need a renewed spirit, a revival. Revive us again. Let us pray. Lord God, as we come this morning, we thank You for coming in the person of Jesus to be the Savior of the world. Lord, we thank You that we heard the story, the message, the truth. You gave us the faith to believe, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You sought us out and desired that we not perish, but that we should come to everlasting life. And we come this morning just praising You and thanking You for it. And we come, Lord, open us up. Let Your Spirit so dwell within us that we would be open to revival in our individual lives, in our individual hearts. Thank You, Lord, that when we kind of grow lax or we slack up in our commitment to You, that Your Word or Your songs, Your songwriters have written for us, they call us to attention and they call us to a renewed commitment. And Lord, we just thank You for that and offer praise and glory unto Your name. As we assemble for worship, let Your Spirit flow through us. As we ordain elders and talk about leadership in the church, Lord, we just pray for the leadership of Your Spirit, knowing that You are the head and we are the parts of the body. And Lord, we just offer our prayer in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now as we remain standing, let us express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe.
Even God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confessing our sin, our call to confession. The Apostle Peter said to Simon, who tried to buy the power to impart the Holy Spirit, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Let us confess our sins and repent of our sins." Our prayer of confession is in unison. If you'll join with me.
Merciful God, you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we remain preoccupied with ourselves, separated from sisters and brothers in Christ. We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show reluctance to welcome one another. We allow the past to hold us bondage. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from sin. Remind us
of the promises you made in baptism,
that we may rise to new life and live together in grace.
If you'll continue in silent prayer. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake.
Turn your hymns again now, if you will, please, to hymn 357. We're going to sing 1 and 3.
Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, I am so glad that Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, by me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when His mercy I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
And I hope that by the smiles on your face, I can tell just how many of you are glad
that Jesus loved. Just the chorus.
I'm so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me and me.
In your hymnal, hymn 518, you will find the longer I serve Him, the song that I like to sing for you. And of course, you all know that I'm not old, so I don't know how well I can sing. I shouldn't be lying up here, should I? I can truly say, as my life has progressed, that this song really, really, really holds true for me. Because the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
I started for the kingdom. Since my life He controls. Since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows. My way gets brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, the more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
It's now children's time. So children, if you want to come down with Miss Andrea. And we will have children's church. So children, you may leave for children's church when you finish.
Come on, Mikey.
Faith in God. It was
go to a quiet room and just spend 30 minutes by yourself just being quiet. Well, what are we being quiet for? Okay? Go get you a self-help book and read all about how to help yourself. Well, I got a newsflash. The self-help industry is a huge industry, but if God's not in it, it's not going to work. God's got to be in whatever that we pursue in order for us to do something differently than what we're doing. Because if we're just relying on ourselves, where do we have to go to? God's got to be there with us. And if we pursue things without Him, just doomed to have a failure. But you know what? God also teaches us an awful lot. We actually learn a lot more about life through the hard times than we do when things are just rosy and great. And they don't tell you that in self-help books or if you're sitting in a room by yourself just being by yourself. You know, if you're not talking to the Lord, so learn more about Him and what He would teach you to do when you've got things going on that are not exactly like you want them, what are you going to learn? So, self-help, that's okay. It's good when you help yourself. If having the Lord right there with you, if you leave the Lord out, not too good. And in thinking about that, I want to share with you from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21. And it says, "He that follows after righteousness finds mercy, finds his life, righteousness, and honor." So if we're searching out our Lord and Savior, all those things are going to come to you at some point. Might not be right away, but it's going to come. And it's because you're not just helping yourself, you're helping others, and you're taking the Lord with you on that journey. So there's a lot of things that can go with that message, but I think you all are pretty much happy, aren't you? But you got to convince everybody else around you that you're happy. And if you're happy and you know it, you should clap your hands. But can you do that nice and loud? If you can't hang on to it, then you can't clap your hands. Okay, that's when you're ready. When you're happy, you know you're going to have to really clap your hands loud, too. Ready?
Sentence, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Will our ushers please come forward?
Please guide the fear of your followers, the ones who can be leaders at the same time. Or let us speak the words we have to speak. Let us say the things we have to say. Let us be assertive. Let us speak your name. Or let us take what we learn from you and apply it every day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you are able to give to you, Lord. Let us continue to do your work.
Please be seated. Before we go to the contemporary song, I've got two things I need to bring to your attention. 2 weeks from yesterday, is that right? At least two members of this congregation are going to South America to work for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And John Strasser is going for the first time. Sam is going for the, how many times?
Eighth
time. To work, did you go sing, or is that including?
6 times to work.
6 times to work, 2 times to sing. That was work, too. Okay, but John has never been. Sam's will be gone next week. He's got to go to Gadsden, Alabama, or gets to go to Gadsden, Alabama to talk to churches about support for the mission work. So this morning, John, if you'll come forward, Sam, if you'll stand up here, let's pray and set these guys apart with the rest of their team. How many is going with you?
Be 13 of us.
13. Okay. You got? Can you get a bucket truck there? I've seen him all week on a bucket truck. Yeah. Okay. Let's all pray. If you would just pray for God's blessings upon this work mission. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that these fellows have to respond to needs away from here. Lord, we pray your blessings upon them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, some of us went and worked at Grace Church in Franklin, I think 1153 Lewisburg Pike, and cut low-hanging limbs. Their church had grown up on each side, and you could only see it when you got right in front of it. You had to look fast. And so we kind of cut out some underbrush and everything. And we had, I think, 6 from our church and about 6 from their church, 6 or 8 from here. And we worked hard for 3 hours, I guess, and came home. Now, we have another work project facing us come this Saturday. And not only is Sam working in mission work, John has felt a call, John Rippey, to do some little projects or big projects around here. This church, the men's group, has already done that at various times. But next Saturday morning, John is planning for us to go to Brother Parks' house and help build a ramp. He is not able to walk up down the steps anymore. And so I think men's breakfast is next Saturday morning. And after that, we can travel to Columbia and work on Brother Parks' house. So if you're available next Saturday morning, we'll probably try to depart from here about 8 o'clock, I guess. Does that sound about right? And get there, and John's going this afternoon to see what we need and to make the preliminary preparation. And Brother Parks, he has some connection in that he's a retired minister and a sick minister in our presbytery, but he was also for 2+ years pastor at the Tusculum Church and at the Columbia Church and at the Mount Pleasant Church and at the West Point Church. That's about it in this area.
In this area,
right. Off to Kentucky and then back here. Okay, so thank you very much.
Let's all stand again. Prepare for Larry's message by singing The Heart of Worship.
When the music fades, all the streets away, and I simply come, running just to breathe something that will work, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a storm, for your soul in itself is not what you have become. You search much deeper within, through the waiting for you look into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the sin I made, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. In a silent world, no one could express how much you deserve. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have defined. You search much deeper within, through the waiting for peace you will give into my heart. The heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus.
Reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. You can also follow along in your bulletin. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And it is, there are many parts, but only one body. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are dispensable. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles. Also, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. There's no particular reason that I left out or printed differently the verses in italics under the scripture lesson, except it would get longer and longer, and our attention span at reading and at hearing sermons, I know, is limited, or we say it is, and then it was not particularly appropriate. I also call to your attention there at least two typographical errors in the outline as you look at it. They should be the, and then I think there's an L that got somehow, I hit the wrong key, and somehow we didn't pick it up. I didn't catch it. I want to talk this morning about church leaders and followers. I think I saw being given out a little handout sheet of paper starting out on the top of elders. Do you have a little sheet of paper? Words taken from the Confession of Faith concerning the elders. All that we do, from the Constitution, what we do, we believe, has been taken from the Scriptures, and our form of government is, as Paul talked about, appointing elders in each church. The letter to the Ephesian church was in particularly concerning him dealing with the elders there, the elders meeting him when he arrived and when he left, and being with him while he was there. This morning, as you can see, if you look a little further in your bulletin, we will ordain and install elders. Michael Miller is a new elder. He will be ordained. This is called set apart for this particular work with the laying on of hands. Larry Barnes and Sam Sutter both have been ordained as elders and have served before. Their role this morning, or our relationship with them, will be to install them anew to a active position on the session, having been elected back in early December. As we think about church leaders and followers, or the elders and the congregation, I chose this morning 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter. Quite unusual passages, I think, or verses, I think, that we normally use to talk about the elders. But I think they fit. We usually go to Timothy and Titus and see the qualifications and what they're supposed to do.
And I invite you to do that again. Certainly, you're encouraged to, you're welcome to. As we think of this, I call your attention to, let me ask you first, if you were going to put a human body together, how would you arrange it? Do you think God did a pretty good job of putting us together? Or do you think the head should be somewhere else? I have some trouble with the ears. If you sit behind a man with a short haircut and look at his ears, I know people have done mine the same way, and I think I've used this illustration before. They're kind of funny sticking out there, aren't they? They're kind of in the way. Some, you know, like elephant ears. John Wayne Clay in high school had ears kind of stuck out that way, so I've always wanted to push mine down. I don't know if he slept as a baby with them, slept on them wrong or what. But people would come in on his ears. But both people's ears, are they in the right place? Well, they are, and I admit that. But, you know, if I was doing the body, putting it together, I might fix it. Well, I couldn't do any better, I don't think, though. Okay? And 1 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul writes about a body. A human body. It was something that the listeners could relate to. They say that Jesus used illustrations that people of his day could relate to. And some of them, city folk cannot relate to those agrarian society illustrations. Sheep. You ever touched a sheep? Don't remember ever even touching a sheep. Goats, we had goats at one time. But he talked about sheep. He talked about planting seed, and I worked in the garden a little bit, but some people have never worked in a garden. Is that right? Never planted a garden. Sowers going out to sow. I can venture to say that my girls have never planted a garden. Not even a flower garden, I don't think. Maybe they did. I wasn't there to teach them how, if they did. But we can relate to a human body. We can understand what Paul is talking about. Why? Because every one of us has one. Do we not? If we don't, well, what's that we're walking around in? We've all got a human body. And people of Paul's day and we can relate. Paul discusses how the parts of the human body each have a place in the body and how they work together so that the body functions as it was created to function. And Paul uses this illustration, talking all about the body, to illustrate how the church, which is the body of Christ, should function and is intended to function. I've got one finger here that I knocked out a joint when I fell one day after the storm a couple of years ago, and there were some limbs on the parking lot, and I decided to move them. They didn't even need to be moved, but I decided to move them. So I moved them, and in the process, I stumbled and fell, and that finger turned crooked. I mean, it popped out of a joint, and it was an awful-looking thing, and I reached up and popped it back in. But it still doesn't function like it should. I'm learning that as age creeps up on me, had a birthday Friday, you know, thank you for the card, that parts of the body are not functioning like they used to. And it's harder to go down steps now, stairways, than it is to go up them. That's strange. I can't figure that one out, but that's the way it is. And then this thumb, every once in a while this thumb wants to act kind of funny. It just doesn't function. And now the brain, I think my brain is probably better than it's ever been. Ha, ha, ha. That was a joke. Okay. Hopefully this is functioning like it was intended to. But that's kind of a joke. Okay. I find many people unhappy with, they call it organized religion. And every once in a while you'll hear somebody say, I'm not happy with organized religion. Or I don't believe in organized religion. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, what do they believe in? Disorganized religion? And there are some disorganized Christian churches. Well, some of them are saying they're unhappy with the church. But the Bible teaches that the church, even when it's not organized like all of us think it ought to be, is, the Church of Jesus Christ, is organized in some way. The Bible teaches us really how to organize it. But just like I might change the body if I got the opportunity to put it together, some people would change the church around if they got the opportunity to put it together differently. And that's probably why we have congregational type government, Episcopal type government, and then Presbyterian type of government, or representative form of government in the church. And then some churches claim that they don't have any kind of structure to their worship services. Well, they really do. They just kind of make it up as they go along, or somebody is there in most situations to give direction as the Spirit leads them. Quakers, I mentioned the Quakers. Anybody here ever been in a Quaker church? Have we ever attended a service in a Quaker church? Understand that they came and sat down and waited till the Spirit moved somebody. Now, do you know enough about the Quakers to know if they ever went home without somebody having been moved to speak? I'm believing that somebody got moved to speak every time. I hope they did. But sometimes it's good to just be still and know that God is God. We have quiet time in a worship service. Maybe not enough of that. To be still and know that God is God. But the Bible teaches that the Church of Jesus Christ is organized. And the passages we have chosen today show one aspect of how the church is to be organized. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul relates it to a building. And in 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, both speak of a building. A physical building. Again, like everybody knew something about the body because they lived in one, everybody in Paul's day and in Peter's day knew something about the building because they lived in one or lived close to one. And that's an illustration that can come down to us. We know something about a building. We know something about a foundation. We know something about the walls. We know something about lumber or brick. And if it's a lumber house, if you take a piece of lumber off, you've got a hole in the house if it's on the outside. If you take sheetrock out, or if you take a window out, you've got a big hole. So there's some kind of organization to a house. And we can relate to that. We can look around us and see buildings like the writers are writing about, the biblical writers. We can see the way, not they way, the way a stone or a big building is constructed. And basically that's what Paul and Peter were referring to. They were talking about stone. And this illustrates how the church functions. The passage, I think, these three passages, are appropriate as we think about the leaders of a local church and the congregation's relationship to the leaders. And the relationship of all of us to Jesus Christ. So, Christ is the head of the body. Christ is the foundation of the church. The cornerstone. Christ is the foundation of the church. The cornerstone. And he is the head of the body. He does the thinking for the body. He does the directing of the body. He is the support of the church, and it refers to him as the capstone, even. I think I know what a capstone is, but I'm not as sure as I would like to be. In Ephesians, we read about the people being the temple of God. We're a temple where God dwells. And hopefully, ideally, people can see God through us, or as they look at us. We would live in such a manner that we would reveal God. That's the idea. That's the thought that's being here. The dwelling of God by His Spirit. And that's what Paul is writing about to the Ephesian church. Peter writes of the members being chosen by God, like a stonemason would choose a stone to put in a house. They're precious to him. I've watched a stonemason build a wall once, and he'd look at a stone, and it might not fit there. It might fit somewhere else, but it wouldn't fit there. But every stone was important. He needed them all. And he talks about the church being made up of living stones that build God's spiritual house. We got the physical building here, but we got the spiritual house. We are breathing, walking around parts of the building of God in His spiritual house. He goes on to talk about the work of the priest. In the Old Testament, people had to go through the priest to get to God. But he goes on to say in this passage, Peter does, that we are a kingdom of priests. Since Jesus has come, we can go directly to God. We don't go to the priest to share all of our relationships with God or to get to God through Him. Talk about us offering sacrifice. Think about the church, if you will. The church, back to the body, the physical body. Jesus is the head. And then there are elders and preacher. And to the elders and preacher, that makes up in the Presbyterian church, the session. And they're given the responsibility of giving oversight and leadership and direction to that church. And we read in the Confession of Faith that it's the responsibility of the elders to ascertain or to gain or to collect the will of the people. Find out what the people desire on particular matters. And then the members give support. Well, if the elders don't have the members under them or supporting them, they don't have any work to do. They don't have any opportunity to be of service. It takes Jesus the head. It takes the elders and the preacher together, it says, makes up the session. And then there are the members of the church. And in our system, we have people who rotate on and rotate off of the session. And this church has been extremely outgoing in inviting new, younger Christians. Sometime maybe too soon have we invited people to become elders in the church. Though we have been warned in the Bible to be careful about taking new Christians too quickly into the church. But we never know just how quickly is too quickly, I guess. And too young in the faith. But this church has elected newcomers to the church and re-elected people who have been around since the beginning. And so as we run the church, is that a bad word or a good word? As we direct the church, and as the church gives their input, this church has been an A-plus church, as I see it, in the way it has operated this way. Okay, these things, the Jesus the head, the elders leading, the members giving support and encouragement, I see this as being especially appropriate as we think of building or adding to the kingdom of God. As you depart today at that lampstand right to the right of the left door. Boy, that's good directions, isn't it? The right of the left door. That picture, those pictures of Ron Johnson and his disciples, those who came to know the Lord through his invitation, that's right there. And Ron brought the people into the church according to that little chart. But Jesus is the one that they came to. He was bringing them to Jesus. And the work of the elders and the work of the members, the preacher can't do it. Not supposed to. The Bible never said that. Jesus didn't do it all himself. He sent out witnesses, 12 and 70 at one time. And then the members being involved. And on the back side of that little sheet of paper where you're listing those people, and today I haven't listed anybody yet, but we had one first-time visitor that I did go to because they had said that they were going to be in church after the first of the year. And the woman was here this morning at the 8 o'clock service. I did see her and talk to her and kind of remind her that she had committed to being here. She brought her granddaughter with her this morning. So the operation of Jesus the head, the preacher and the elders working together, praying for the church, uplifting the church, encouraging the church, and then the members doing the work of gathering in new people. So these verses are particularly important, I think, or especially appropriate as we think of building up or adding to the kingdom of God, because all together we make the body of Christ. Every person is important, and every person is needed. And I saw it last night with the young people. Nick and Aaron was the MC. I looked at her and listened to her as she was on the stage telling a story or two and introducing the different groups, and she was having a ball. She was having a ball. Others, Jade was there working. Jade ended up mopping the kitchen floor. Now that's not the exciting job like being the MC, but it certainly was necessary because the floor was a mess. Even the cleaning person was here, still here. When the people got here, they rushed into the kitchen, and finally they said, "Don't even try to mop this floor, we'll take care of it." Well, Jade got to mop the floor. Not the most glorified job, but it certainly was important. Thank you, Jade. Looked good this morning, too. I drew the water for her and said, "I thought we'd get some help for the rest, for half of it." She says, "No, I'll do it all." And then there were others there serving food out the food window. There were others putting up lamps and taking down lamps. There were others collecting money. That's probably the easiest job. There were others running around when the breaker broke. They were tripping the breaker to make it work again. But every person there, they were important. They were needed. It was necessary. And that's the way the church operates. The children are so important in this church. The teachers. Everybody. We work together. We all make up the body. And Christ is the head. Blessings on you. And thank you for being the church and letting me be a part of it. I want to ask Larry and Sam to come forward. And then I'm going to ask Michael Miller to come forward. Michael's holding the baby. Got to get rid of the baby for a moment. Got to be a good father also. Bring your handout or insert. I particularly called it a handout this morning. Didn't insert it. It talks about elders, talks about how to elect them, ordain them, and install them. And then it talks about session, the elders meeting together. They're called a session of elders. And then got the explanation of their responsibilities. And it's small print, we know, it's small print. But it's in your confession of faith on the under the sections that are there. Now, if you're an elder in this church, would you come forward? Active or inactive? Active or inactive? Now we have one ordained minister. Actually, he's a member of another presbytery. But nobody knew that till right then, did they? Brother Bennett is with us. And we're inviting him to come, and he's going to offer the ordination prayer. The process is we will deal with Michael. We will ask him the questions. He'll respond. And then we will set him apart to the work of ministry as an elder in this church. And he will serve a 3-year term. And then we'll also install, having already been ordained, Larry and Sam. And the 6th question, when we get to that, you two can respond to. I think it's the 6th question. And then the 6th question. But Michael, let me ask you these questions. Do you believe in the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament to be the inspired Word of God, the authority for faith and practice? Do you receive and adopt the Confession of Faith of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church as containing the essential doctrines taught in the Scriptures?
Yes, I do.
Do you approve of and promise to uphold the government of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church? Do you promise to promote peace, unity, and purity in the church? In participating as an elder in the judicatories of the church, and that means presbytery, synod, and general assembly, do you promise to share in a responsible way in the decisions that are made, to abide by these decisions, and to promote the welfare of the church? And to you, Michael, but to Larry, also to Larry and to Sam, do you three accept the office of elder in this church and promise faithfully to discharge all of the duties as God may enable you?
Okay.
The congregation, you have elected these three. Would you, as members of this church, acknowledge and receive these elders? And do you promise to give them such encouragement, support, and respect as belongs to this office? Michael, will you kneel? Will you gather around? And this is a practice that's been followed since the day of the early church, we call it. Apostle Paul talks of it. The passing down of the blessings of God upon this one that is agreed to and the church is called to minister as an elder in this congregation. Brother Bennett.
Father, we give thee praise that from the very beginning of our faith there have been upright, honorable men who've been called by the name elder. As an elder of the church, we ask, O Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon this thy servant, and the Spirit that has been from Moses to now may be rich inside him, Grant, O Lord, always that he may walk before you as an upright, honorable man, to be open to conserve that which is fine from the past, and to be open to all the leading the great heart into the future. We give thee praise, O Lord, for the ministry of men like him, and ask, O Lord, that all his dealings with us may be that of an upright, honorable person, remembering that only relationships of honor may be lasting. And so grant all his relationships with us be upright and honorable. And the grace of the Lord be with you, at Michael. We give our hearts some truth.
Amen.
Amen.
If the elders will remain, and I give you the right hand of Christian Fellowship, and to Larry, and to Sam, to join us anew, invite the elders to offer you the right hand of Christian Fellowship, those who are on the session, those who are off the session, their encouragement, and then the congregation, after the hymn, that they would come and offer you eyeball to eyeball their support, if they will. Okay, if you active elders will come, or you elders will come now and just give your support here. 333 is our song, and if we will be ready to sing it in just a moment. We're going to sing the first verse. Y'all will just turn around and wait here. We'll sing one verse of 333. Let him have his way with you, and then we'll dismiss, but you can come, people of the congregation, and offer your encouragement. Acolytes will come forward. Lord God, send us forth living under your way. In Jesus' name, amen.